very true. No one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. How can someone be born again when they are old? Nicodemus asked. Surely they cannot enter a second time into the mother's womb to be born. Jesus answered, very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. How can this be? Nicodemus asked. You are Israel's teacher, said Jesus, and you do not understand these things. Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. James, thank you so much. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the great blessing of the Bible and Scripture, and we thank you for the wonderful truth. And Lord, in a world where there's a lot of fake news and a lot of things that we believe about ourselves and others which are untrue, we thank you, Lord, for your truth that breaks through like the sun on a cloudy day and makes things crystal clear. Lord, by your Spirit, we pray, Lord, that you would speak into our hearts and lives this morning, because we know that you love us dearly and you want the best for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Children can give wonderful answers to questions that maybe are sometimes unexpected and sometimes also very, very insightful, sometimes perhaps unintentionally. So a group of children aged between 4 and 8 were asked the question, what is love? And here are some of their answers. One boy, age 5, called Carl, said, love is when a girl puts on perfume, a boy puts on aftershave, and they go out and smell each other. Wee boy called Chris, age 7, said, love is when mummy sees daddy smelly and sweaty and still says he's handsomer than George Clooney. Wee girl, Lauren, age 4, said, I know my older sister loves me because she gives me all of her old clothes and then she has to go out and buy new ones. A girl called Terry, age 4, great insight, says, love is what makes you smile when you're tired. Wee boy, age 4, said, when someone loves you, the way they say your name is different. You know that your name is safe in their mouth. Little girl, aged 8, said this, love is when you kiss all the time. When you get tired of kissing, you still want to be together, and you talk more. Mummy and daddy are like that. They look gross when they kiss. Children also like to ask questions. Like, where do babies come from? This may be a shock to you, but every single one of us, I imagine, are here today because of the physical union of our father and our mother. If that's a shock to you, I'm sorry to break it to you in such a public arena, but that's the reality of it. If you want to know more detail, then after the service, turn to the person beside you and say, what did Nigel mean? But this morning we're not going to talk about, you'll be glad to hear, I'm certainly relieved, that we're not going to talk about the process that leads to physical birth. What we're going to talk about is what leads to spiritual birth. How is it possible to become spiritually born? Because that's the conversation that Nicodemus and Jesus are having that James has just read for us. during this month, we're thinking about, what does it mean to be alive in Christ? What does it mean to be alive to God? What does it mean to be spiritually alive? The thing about becoming alive is that there has to be a birth. You can only be alive if you're born. And so this morning, when we're thinking about being sons and daughters of God, we're going to begin with the whole idea of birth. How does spiritual birth actually happen? Nicodemus comes and says to Jesus, in effect, he's saying to him, how is it that you do the miracles that you do? How is it that you seem to be alive in a way which is different than anyone else Nicodemus has ever seen? You can see how Jesus speaks, how he teaches, how he acts. He seems to have this confidence, this joy, this love. He has this power. And Nicodemus comes because he wants to know the secret. He wants to know how Jesus is alive in a way that Nicodemus has never seen anybody else alive in that way. And he wants to know how. Jesus says to him, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they're born again, or born from above, or born from heaven. Nicodemus still doesn't understand. So Jesus says to him, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they're born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh. Nicodemus knows that. We know that. But the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. And interesting, Jesus uses the plural of that you. He says, in a Northern Irish way, yous should not be surprised when I say, yous must be born again. Everybody needs to be born again. Everybody needs to be born from above. When we're born physically, we are made in the image of God. We have this resemblance of God. But to be children of God is only possible through Jesus Christ. To be aware of God is only possible through Jesus Christ. Nicodemus accepts what Jesus is saying, but he still has no idea, well, how does that happen? How do you become spiritually alive? Nicodemus has been a religious teacher for decades, we imagine. He's a senior teacher. He's part of the ruling council. He knows the scriptures, the Hebrew scriptures, inside and out, and the commentaries on them. He's a rabbi himself. He's a teacher himself. And yet he has no idea. How do you become spiritually alive? He says to Jesus, like you. How does an old man like me, Nicodemus is implying, how does an old man go back into his mother's womb? How can I become spiritually alive? Jesus says to him, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so that the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him will have eternal life. Now, Nicodemus would have known the Hebrew scriptures very well. He would have known that Jesus was referring to what we refer to as Numbers, the book of Numbers, chapter 21. There was a plague sent among the people because of their sinfulness and their wickedness and their selfishness and their brokenness. And there was a plague that it killed thousands of people. And they cried out to God for mercy. Save us from this terrible, unseen death. And God said to Moses, make a bronze snake and put it on a pole and lift it up and move among the people. And have them know that anyone who looks up in faith at this bronze snake and believes that somehow God is going to save them and bring this plague to an end, their life will be spared. They will live. So Jesus is saying to Nicodemus, in the same way that a bronze snake was lifted up on a pole to save lives, so too the Son of Man, that's Jesus' favorite way of describing himself, so too the Son of Man must be lifted up, that whoever looks at him will have eternal life, will have the type of life that you're talking about, will have the spiritual life that you're longing for. Now Nicodemus only got to see what that really looked like months later, whenever he knew that Jesus Christ, Jesus the Son of Man, was nailed to a cross in public. And I imagine the pennies would have started to drop, that he would have begun to realize, there's the Son of Man being lifted up. That all who believe that somehow God, in this strange act, is saving people from death, that, says Jesus, is how you become spiritually alive. Believing that God defeated sin and death on the cross in Jesus Christ, and believing that Jesus died the death that we deserve to die, is how you become spiritually born. That's what Jesus is saying. That's how you become spiritually alive. But by believing that in this strange act of God, that selfishness and sin and brokenness and war and sickness and disease and death itself have been overcome, because God in the flesh, Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, was lifted up in a public place and died a public death. Why? To overcome, to be victorious, to be the champion. He wasn't caught out. He knew he was going to his death. He knew he'd be lifted up on a cross. He kept telling his closest friends again and again. Why? Because this, in the strange economy of God, is how God was going to overcome our sin, our death, and release life, eternal life, spiritual life. Jesus was baptized to identify with us. He didn't need to be baptized. And we are baptized to identify with him. He was baptized because he was on the way to die our death. We are baptized so that we may receive his life. It's such a privilege to be spiritually alive, to be adopted into God's family as a son or daughter of God. That comes by believing that in Christ, God the Father has overcome the death that was due for us, if we would only look and believe. And John in his gospel says, if we look and believe, then we also receive. We receive the right to become sons and daughters of God, children of God, born not of natural descent or of human decision, but born of God. And Paul says there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. In other words, as we believe, we receive complete forgiveness. The slate is wiped utterly clean. There's a completely new beginning. Paul says, right in the church in Rome, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you receive brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. In many Bible translations, the word Abba, the name Abba, is not translated. It's left in the Aramaic, Abba. Not a 1960s or 70s Swedish pop group. Well, yes, it is, but Nowhere in the Old Testament, nowhere in history, had anybody called God Abba before. Jesus had this intimacy with the Father that Nicodemus longed for. He had this great privilege of knowing what it meant to be a child of God, the Son of God. And Jesus came and lived and died and rose from death to show that we too can be alive in him and that we can have the same relationship with the Father that he has. That's what Jesus came and died to give us. And that is what his resurrection from the dead proves, that death has been overcome because sin has been vanquished and Christ is victorious. And you and I can call God by the Spirit Abba, Father. The reason why the Bible translators don't try and translate it is because it's really difficult to translate. The closest we can get is saying, dear Father, dear Daddy. But it's not a Pali word. It's not a juvenile word. It's a word that adults would use in deep, loving respect for their father. Abba. Abba. Billy Bray was a Cornish miner who knew well what it was to have this privilege of this living relationship with God the Father through Jesus Christ. He was born in 1794, and he was trouble until the age of 29. He was always getting into fights. He was getting in domestic quarrels, not least with his wife. But he became a Christian when he was 29, and he came home and he said to her, by the help of God, because he was a drunkard, he said, by the help of God, you will never see me drunk again. And she never did. People used to come from miles around, particularly thousands of coal miners from Cornwall used to come from miles around just to hear Billy Bray speak. People described him as being infused with divine electricity. His favorite saying was, I'm the son of a king. If people asked him who he was, he would say, I'm a young prince. Because he knew the privilege and the intimacy of being a child of God. Many people were healed because they were coming into the presence of Jesus Christ when they came into the presence of Billy Bray. John Wesley lived a religious life for many decades before he would say he came to a place where he was actually converted and became a child of God. And he said, in that moment, I exchanged the faith of a servant for the faith of a son. In other words, he realized there was no amount of good works he was ever going to do that was going to make him spiritually alive. He'd really got, I imagine, to the point of exhaustion, thinking that if only I could do better. And then he realized there was nothing he could do to make God love him more. And there was nothing he could do to make God love him less. He discovered by the Spirit, by the revelation of the Spirit, by the power of the Spirit, what it meant to be a child of God. He became born again, born from above. He became spiritually alive. He became aware of God's presence. He'd been born from above. The Spirit gives us the deepest experience of God the Father, of God Himself, through Jesus Christ by the power of the Spirit. Because remember, the Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus Christ. We invite the Spirit of Jesus into our lives. And He only ever used two adjectives to describe Himself when He was speaking that we know of. He said, "I am gentle and humble in heart. Come to me, all you who are heavy and laden, and I will give you rest." It's the verse that's at the front of the stained glass windows in this church. I think many of us are exhausted at trying to measure up to what we think is the right thing. Maybe it's what we think God wants us to do. Maybe it's because we think we haven't fulfilled our parents' dreams, whether they're alive or dead. I think so many of us can exhaust ourselves in our own strength trying to be what we utterly hope we can be and think we should be. And it is right that God has given us a dream, a passion, a vision of what it would mean to be fully alive, fully joyful, fully ourselves. That's why Nicodemus came at night to talk to Jesus, because he saw a man unlike any other he had ever seen. A man in whom he never saw fear. A man who always protected the vulnerable. A man who was willing to go toe to toe with those who kept piling on the pressure and saying, "You'll never measure up." One person who knew about this deepest experience of God was a former Archbishop of Cape Town called Bishop Bill Burnett. He passed away to be with the Lord in the mid-90s. And strangely, he once said this, or in fact, he probably often said this: "When I became a bishop, I believed in theology but not in God. I was a practical atheist. I sought righteousness by doing good. One day after a confirmation service, where he preached on the text in Romans chapter 5, verse 5, God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit that he's given to us. He went home from the service. He poured himself a strong drink. He opened the newspaper. He was putting his feet up and reading, and he sensed the Lord say to him, 'Go and pray.' And because bishops' houses are slightly different from ours, he went to his private chapel in his house, and he got down on his knees, and he prayed silently to God. And as he prayed, he sensed the Lord say to him, not an audible voice, but he sensed the Lord say to him, 'Give me every part of your body.' And he found it quite amusing, because he used to say, 'I'm no Mr. Universe. I'm tall and gangly. Why would God want my body?' But nonetheless, he began to offer every part of his body to God: his eyes, his ears, his hands, his feet, every part of his body. And then he said, 'What I preached about that morning happened.' He said, 'I became overwhelmed with electric shocks of love that just kept coming wave after wave into his body. So much so he just lay on the floor in the presence of God, and he was overwhelmed with the love of God. And the result, he knew his Heavenly Father in a way that he had never experienced before. Abba, Father. His life and ministry were transformed. And the remaining years of his life, he enabled many people to discover what it meant to live as a child of God, through his testimony and through the testimony of the Holy Spirit, many people came to know what it meant, experience the reality of being a child of God. Paul, in writing to the Romans, also tells us that to be a son or daughter of God is the greatest security. He says, now if you are children, then we are also heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. There is a profound security in knowing that you're a child of God. Whenever I became a Christian at the age of 14, the thing that I longed for most was security. I had a loving family, I enjoyed school, I loved sport, I was healthy and well. And you wouldn't have known it to look at me, but I was deeply insecure. Deeply insecure. But I discovered in Jesus Christ a security that nothing in this world can give. It is a privilege. It brings intimacy. It's a profound experience. And alone it gives security to know that you are a child of God. Jesus was baptized so that he would live, as it were, a life that, although perfect, led to our consequences. It led to our death. He didn't need to die. And we are baptized to identify with him. By being baptized, we say, just as my death was your death, so may your life be my life. That's what baptism is all about. Entering into Christ's death, that we by the Spirit may rise to his life. Are you born again? Are you born from above? Are you aware of the presence of God in your life? I know that for many of you the answer is absolutely, I know that. But maybe for some of you, you're thinking, you know what, I'm not sure. Maybe you have lots of questions. If you do, I really want to encourage you to do the Alpha course. It starts 9th of October, Wednesday evenings, food and desserts, and it gives space and time over 8 weeks to ask questions and to get some answers. Perhaps this morning you're saying, bring it on. This is exactly what I want. I want to be spiritually alive. Well, believe in Jesus Christ. Pin all your hopes on the wonderful truth that Jesus Christ being lifted up on the cross was the place of God's victory over your brokenness and my brokenness. And in the mystery of God, it unleashes life, life, life that this world cannot give. And this morning, as we join in the family meal, as people who have experienced Jesus Christ who's alive, come with empty hands, receive the bread and wine, and rejoice in the fact that your slate has been wiped clean, that you're completely forgiven. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. You're completely free. If you're sick, come and say, Lord, heal me. Heal me. Whether that's physical or mental or whatever, emotional, whatever. come and say, nourish me by your Spirit, God. And give me a fresh hunger for you. Because although I know I'm a Christian, although I know I'm born again, sometimes months can go by and my face will never tell the story. I think, you know, for myself, my prayer is going to increasingly be, I hope that I am so alive with the Holy Spirit that people will say, Nigel, tell me how. Imagine for us, a couple hundred people who gather together on a Sunday morning for our services. Imagine if, like Billy Bray, we were so alive in the Spirit that at our coffee breaks or over the fence of the back garden or at the family table or somewhere, the people who we spend time with would say, tell me what it means to be born again. Tell me what it means to be alive. Because the world is crying out for it. And they will never find it anywhere else but in Jesus Christ. What a privilege we have. What a privilege we have. And so often we take that as a heavy burden, but here's the thing. Just pursue Jesus. Seek first the kingdom of God, and everything else will fall into place. You see, if you just get more and more passionate, and you can ask God for the passion, people will ask you why you are the way you are, and you'll not have to do anything that looks like rocket science. May that be our prayer. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that as we place our faith in you for the first time or afresh today, that you proclaim over us as you proclaimed over Jesus, this is my son, this is my daughter whom I love with you. You bring me great joy. With you I'm well pleased. Hear that today. As you put your faith in Christ, the victorious one, you bring the Father great joy just by being you in the power of the Spirit. Come, Lord Jesus, move among us afresh by your Holy Spirit. Come, Lord Jesus Christ. We open ourselves afresh to you. We long for you, Lord, more and more. And for those who need to pray this for the first time, echo this prayer in your hearts. Lord Jesus Christ, there's something missing in my life, and I want it. I've glimpsed it, and I want it. I believe it can only be found in you, the one who was crucified for me, to make me clean, to show me the love of God and to plant the Spirit of God in me. Come, I believe, I receive, fill me with your Spirit. Grow your new life in me. Make me spiritually alive. And thank you that your promise is that your Spirit then will be bonded to my Spirit like super glue, and you will never leave me. Even death itself will not break the bond. And I will rise just as you are risen. I trust you, Jesus. I trust in you and none other. I trust in your Spirit residing in me. Fill me with your love. Increase my joy and love and peace. Come, Lord Jesus. Come. Come, Jesus. Come and speak to us this morning into our hearts, Jesus. Lord, just as you spoke to Bishop Bill Burnett, as you spoke to Billy Bray, as you said to Jesus, this is my son, come, this is my daughter come speak to us, Lord, today by your Spirit. Whisper into our hearts. Give a fresh revelation. Lord, we're tired with trying. We're bored with bluffing because we're only bluffing ourselves. Help me to be a man or woman of God. And may others see what it looks like to be born again. Amen. Shall we stand? Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us celebrate the feast. The Lord is here. We're even going to echo that. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Father, Lord of all creation, we praise you for your goodness and your love. When we turned away, you did not reject us. You came to meet us in your Son, welcomed us as your children, and prepared a table where we might feast with you. In Christ, you shared our life, that we might live in him and he in us. He opened wide his arms upon the cross, and with love stronger than death, he made the perfect sacrifice for sin. Lord Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, on the night before you died, you came to table with your friends. Taking bread, you gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Lord Jesus, we bless you. You are the bread of life. At the end of supper, you took the cup of wine, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Lord Jesus, we bless you. You are the true vine. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Dying, you destroyed our death. Rising, you restored our life. Lord Jesus, come in glory. Holy Spirit, giver of life, come upon us now. May this bread and wine be to us the body and blood of our Savior, Jesus Christ. As we eat and drink these holy gifts, make us who know our need of grace, one in Christ, our risen Lord. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, blessed Trinity, with your whole church throughout the world, we offer you the sacrifice of thanks and praise, and lift our voice to join the song of heaven, forever praising you and saying, "Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Thanks be to you, our God, for your gift beyond words. Amen, amen, amen." And we pray the prayer that Christ taught us, "Our Father in heaven. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen." The bread which we break is a sharing in the body of Christ. We being many are one body, for we all share in the one bread. Draw near, receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, his blood, which he shed for you. Remember that he died for you. And feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. So, Lord, as we meet with you, risen Lord Jesus Christ, who once walked among us, was crucified for us, to break open heaven, meet with us in this meal. Fill us, change us, transform us. And we ask it in your mighty name. Amen. Please have a seat. And I'm going to ask those who are going to help serve, please, to come up. And as always, what we do is we come up the center and we receive, there's bread. There's also a gluten-free option. If you want gluten-free, then please say to us. And then it's off to the sides, and plenty of exercise this morning. And then there's either the option at each side of having a chalice to take wine, alcoholic wine. If you prefer a non-alcoholic option, then there's someone beside the person with the cup with a tray, and on the tray there are little glasses of non-alcoholic wine. And then if you use one of those, the empties go in the bowls off to the side. And if you're up in the balcony and would like to have communion, then feel free to come down. And David will be serving communion at the back there for those who are on the balcony. And again, let us know if you'd like gluten-free. There's also prayer ministry, I think, isn't there? There's loads of information here. But there's prayer ministry over there. There'll be two others standing, I think, with lanyards on. And if you would like prayer for anything, for healing, for filling with the Spirit, to give your life to Jesus, then please do go there. Or after the service, that's an option as well. And if you'd like to be prayed for but not receive communion, then either here just come and say, please pray for me. I'm not quite ready for the step of faith yet, but please pray for me. And we can pray for you here, or we can pray for you over there. And there's also a group for children, and we would love to pray for you and the children who are with you. That's all the information, I think.